That's what we do, right? Shine our lights at each other and with each other. One Sunday morning, back in the days when I was a wife and a working ecologist and a 40-something mom with an inkling that I needed to do something more with my life, I was sitting in church with my partner and our young child, and there was a guest minister in the pulpit. The guest was a student from Meadville Lombard, the seminary in Chicago that I was thinking about attending. As is often the case for me, I don't remember much of what they actually said that morning, but I remember the feelings that were stirring for me. And I need that. It was joy. There was joy in the connection I was feeling to what was happening in that space. There was satisfaction and resonance in the path that I was discovering opening before me. There was fear that I was turning our lives upside down to try to follow that path. There was deep love for my daughter nestled in my arms, for my partner sitting beside me. I listened and I breathed. And I sang, and I was fully there somehow in each moment as it presented itself, and then move on. And there was a letting go, a feeling that maybe I didn't need to know everything about the journey ahead of me to be able to trust it. Maybe. I don't have a meditation practice, but it felt kind of like what I've heard people describe, people who do have a meditation practice. It was not really this everything's going to be okay kind of positive. It was more like, an acceptance that it would be what it would be. It felt real and beautiful in the same way that being out in nature with no agenda except an open heart also often does for me. And after the service, I talked with the worship leader. I told them that I was considering seminary, and they said something like, yeah, I could see how open you are just sitting there during the service. I think seminary would be good for you. That was a nice feeling. I have tried since that day to open to myself to that feeling whenever it presents itself. And, oh boy, does life get in the way, right? This is what calls to me about this poem from Reverend Herrera, how she describes this standing at the edge of mystery, at the edge of the deep with the light streaming at you, and you can't hide anything, not even from yourself. And then she describes how often we don't know what we do, what to do when we find ourselves in this place, even admitting that she, like I also sometimes, do not know what to tell you when you are in that place and sharing it with me. But I know how to breathe with you. We don't always know how to get to the place she ends the poem with. The armful of worries you brought to the edge of mystery have fluttered to your feet. Unobscured by these, you shine back, light emanating unto light. You, with your broken heart and your seeking, you are the utterance of the timeless word. And perhaps there is one of the answers. When we don't know how to do something, it feeds our anxiety. It makes it even harder to figure out how to do something, right? When that anxiety is ramped up, it does not seem to come naturally to let go, to open to mystery. We want to know. We think we need to know. And I think that gets in the way. Pico Iyer is a British-born writer of Indian descent who does mostly travel book writing. He did a recent TED Talk called The Beauty of What We'll Never Know, in which he said this, "And the one thing that I have learned is that transformation comes when I'm not in charge, when I don't know what's coming next, when I can't assume I am bigger than everything around me. And the same is true in love or in moments of crisis. Suddenly, we're back at that trishaw again, and we're bumping off the broad, well-lit streets, and we're reminded, really, of the first law of travel, and therefore of life. You're only as strong as your readiness to surrender. Yeah, that's easy, right? Like many people, I get into the habit of being in charge, right? Of feeling in control. I know, though, because I've had experiences like the one I described a few minutes ago, that Pico Iyer is right. And yet, in the busyness of doing all that needs to be done, I lose the habit. I lose the habit of letting go. It's kind of like the daylight time in the story Genevieve told us earlier. I can see to do things, and there are so many exciting things to do, but there's also sometimes too much to see and too much to be able to do. And so I sometimes need the darkness to help me focus on those more subtle guiding lights. In 2 weeks, I will be starting a sabbatical leave, a time I can use to practice letting go. A sabbatical is a very old concept. It relates to a period of rest or change, traditionally after 6 years, to mirror the seventh day of rest in the creation story of Genesis. I am not talking about academic sabbaticals here. The root is from the word Sabbath, the biblical term, meaning the day of rest after 6 days of labor. Unitarian Universalist congregations frequently grant their ministers a sabbatical period with full pay in recognition of their difficult and consuming work. I took that out of a brochure somewhere. The result is a renewal of the minister's outlook, new directions of thought and growth of vision. The plan for sabbatical in my letter of agreement says that every 4 to 7 years, I take a month of leave for every year I've served. I have served 4 years since the last one. While I'm gone, I will change. Being away from this work that I love and that also takes a little bit of time and energy, being away will give me the space I need to come to the edge of mystery, to drop the armful of worries, and to remember again what it is to engage with surrender. I came to the work of ministry because I was called by what I found when I surrendered to what was at the edge of mystery. Somehow I knew how to do that. And I came to this congregation because I believed that we care about the same things and that we would work well together. I still believe that because it has been true for the 9 years that I've served here, more or less, more than less. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I do not expect for that to change, but I will change, and that is good. And while I'm gone, you will change. There was evidence of that this morning as we welcomed these beautiful people as members of our congregation. You change every time somebody new walks through our doors, even if they only come once, right? And that's because one of your strengths is your readiness to surrender. You do that. You adapt, and you even anticipate ways you need to change to welcome those who find you with an open heart. So you will change. And that is good too. And when I come back, we will move into whatever it is that presents itself together, even if it's a global pandemic. Because that's what happened last time. It was fun, right? We're laughing. We will move into whatever presents itself together, having learned and grown in our time apart. I am really excited about this. Not just the time off, although I am looking forward to getting to go to Alaska again and to visit with other congregations and with some beloved colleagues and some chosen family. But what I'm really excited about is that we're in this place. 9.5 years does not feel like a long time in the grand scheme of things. At least to me, it's only a sixth of my life. But it's the longest ministry that this congregation has had. And that is pretty wonderful. Not only that, it's wonderful that this congregation is stable and healthy enough to do this and to do it well. And I know that. This is both my and your second sabbatical. And so we know that. You know how to do this. Even those of you who weren't here then, you know how to do it. The first one, as I mentioned, ended in a global pandemic, and we adapted to that, and we figured things out. And then we worked hard to rebuild momentum within and connection with our community, and we're still doing that work. And Deb and our board and our sabbatical team are ready to support our ongoing community and mission and any pastoral needs that arise. You will see if you pick up a sabbatical brochure or look on our website, or maybe after today or tomorrow, look at our website. I'm not so sure because we're still working on that. But you will see in those places a list of folks who are at the ready to keep things running well. Mary Wagner can answer your questions or guide you to the right person to do that. Mary is attending on Zoom today, I believe. Jeanette Clausen and Heike Sainish will take your pastoral care calls as they have been doing. And they will pass them to Reverend Monica if you need a minister. Reverend Monica is ready to do that for you. Rachel Avery will help continue, will help worship continue to run smoothly. And we have a full staff of amazing people, even if you don't know them all well yet. I am overwhelmed with joy and gratitude to be able to leave our music and religious education and administration in the capable and competent hands of Jennifer and Genevieve and Danica. Danica's doing great, by the way. Yeah. What I wish for you while I'm away is to continue to build this amazing momentum you are working on. Keep welcoming new people of all ages, all genders, all abilities, all backgrounds. Keep serving our community, radiating out your love and compassion and activism. Keep worshiping, singing, praying, celebrating your accomplishments and your joys, accompanying each other through your sorrows and your fears. Keep dreaming about what we will do next, because I will ask you about that when I come back. You have both a challenge and an opportunity here. The challenge is to continue your stability, and you've got that. The opportunity is to widen your horizons, to pay attention to new thoughts and ideas, to deepen your ministry. It's going to be amazing. So planning on that. May it be so. And may we be so.